That's good, brother.
Kind of hard to preach to that. Talk dropping in your mouth. I'm glad to be here, of course. I didn't intend to come down here and stay tonight. I was going back home. Paul told me that Brother John had left and he wanted me to preach for him, so I was glad to do that. I'm glad to, but I didn't intend to want to left. I've got a lot to do, and I'm kind of crowded right now. But it's just about 2.5 hours, and you go up there once in a while, some of you know it's about that long. And that's not too bad. Really, it's not too bad. People do all those things. So we sometimes, you know, go out of the way. It's really not no suffering, nothing like that. But you go out of the way to do things that you didn't plan to do.
That's the hope.
And then you get blessed for it. I wonder tonight, naturally, you know, you pray, ask the Lord, but I wonder just what you really do need. You know, not pastoring me, I know my people. I've been pastoring Sandy for 31 years, and I married you before I was a pastor. And I know them, and sometimes I preach at them, to them, on purpose. And they do it. And sometimes I accidentally hit them, or God does. You know what I mean. But I don't know you like I do them. And I don't believe in taking things out of people. But I wonder just what you need. I don't know. Really don't know just what you need. But I know you do need. You are in me. I know
they hold it. Yes.
Nobody has it made. Really, nobody is, when it's all said and done, nobody is really spiritual. You know, like the people talk about, they're not. Yeah. So we all need help. Lester Moore travels a lot. I travel some, but not much as him. I've got a car out there that's 2 years old and 70,000 on it, so I do travel some. And Brother Moore, he goes more than I do. He said, Ralph, he always calls me by their first name, just about all the time. Probably will never change that. We thank God of him. But he always does that. I'd rather say, Brother, you know, something like that. I think it's better. I know it's better for me. And especially, you know, sisters and everything, call them sisters. You know, people on first name basis, all those things, probably okay, but it's just better. You know, it's better that you don't call and maybe you need this to start with. It's better that you don't call Brother Carpenter just Tom. It's probably better, much better. It's better for your children. Unless people look up to the preacher, not as some super person in that, but unless you look up to him, you're not likely to help you much. And Lester said, I've never seen such a time when people needed help. So we all need help. I can say, I don't know you, but I can look at you. I really can. You just try the things you can look at people and tell. I'll tell you something to try sometimes to be doing. We live in a very, I know she's videoing this. I'm not beginning here.
It's just mine. Nobody knows.
That's all right. Okay. Sometimes I hate these recorders. Or I take a bad ball bat and bash them in them. So you know. Get in trouble.
This will be fine.
But we live in a very hypocritical time.
Right.
And I'm not sorry on the church. Yeah. Many miles from it. I'm not sorry on the church. I think the Holy Spirit is the greatest people anywhere. I've been asked to join the assembly, I've been asked to join the Baptist. And they mean it. They want me to join. I never did. Wasn't even temptation, don't guess. And I'm interested in the homeless people, and we're not near as unlike organized folks as we think we are.
Right.
No. We just stay a few years behind on some things. I noticed some of the homeless folks are catching up with them.
Right.
Pretty good. Sometimes just be doing it. Now, you know, some people think that they're religious, and they're not. They're really not. I'll take a text a little bit, read some verses, but they're not. They're really not. And people profess everything from being wholly sanctified all down to don't tell what all. And some of them are. But in one sense, they are. Sometimes just be doing among couples. No matter if you've been married a year or 10 or 20 or 40. I've been married 41 years. Look right at them. I don't mean this in the wrong way. Look right at them. And you can usually tell when a man is not good to his wife. You don't believe it? Try it. Just look right at them. You can tell. And then you'll find out later on, that's so. And vice versa. But you tell an abused woman by looking at her. Sometimes you can tell abused children by looking at her.
Right.
You can. And now I'm talking about in the church now. I'm talking about right in the church. Let's be sure that we are God's people and that we're trying to do right. Let's be positive about that. Some people are not positive about that. They're really not. We didn't live in a time when some of the preachers, and when I say preachers, I mean pretty good preachers. And you find out that for years, not just one now, I'm just thinking not just one, but you'll find out that for years they've been practicing evil. And people right among the independent holiness folks that for a long time have been preaching and talking about standards, Brother Tom Parker.
Right.
And really come down on it. You want to watch a man now, let me tell you something. You want to watch a man that is really a fanatic and that rides the same thing all the time. You want to watch him. Something he's got to work in his brain somewhere. He's not really, really
right. That's right.
Because a serious preacher will try to have something different.
Right.
How do you like these potatoes? Every meal. I'd go start raving crazy, I guess. I just don't think I'd take it. Well, the same thing with preaching. If you have the same thing every service, I'd burn me out. I couldn't take it. I just couldn't take it. God is a God of variety.
Yes, He is.
God made the trees also. And if you look at the trees, I admire the dogwoods. We don't have that many at home. Some areas around there, they've got some up around Tucson, down the Burgess River. But they don't have them like they do here. Of course, this is a beautiful country. I'm not even tempted to move down here because it's not my country. I've got my work there. And I like it. I'm not even tempted to move, but it's beautiful, beautiful. We live in a beautiful country. God's good. That is a great creation. I go to California in the mountains, back east in the mountains, south in the mountains. And I love it, and north, around the Great Lake. And it's a beautiful country. But let's thank God for it all the time.
Right.
Now let me see. Turn with me to Hebrews. I won't be like Brother Cameron inside or preaching either. Not even trying to be. He weighs about 250, and I weigh about 150. So I'm not him. He may weigh more than that, I don't know. And we love you, Brother John. Yeah, we really love you. In Hebrews chapter 12, before I read chapter 12, I'll just tell you about 11. 11 is a chapter of what they call the roll call of the hero's faith. And it deals with all these individuals, and I won't read it, but you know, Abel's in verse 4, 11:4. Enoch's in verse 5. Noah's in verse 7. And Abraham's in verse 8. And then, of course, it mentions Sarah in the 11th verse. And going down, it names off some more and talks about Isaac in the verse 17. And some more in verse 20, and then Jacob in verse 21. And then it talks about Joseph in verse 22, and Moses in verse 23. And then goes on down and talks about Rahab the harlot in verse 31. And probably Joshua would be in there where they compassed the walls of Jericho in verse 30. Doesn't name him, but he's there. And then in verse 32, it names Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. And then it talks about some folks, unnamed people, that subdued kingdoms and wrought righteousness and stopped the mouth of lies, and that'd be Daniel probably, and obtained promises and quenched the violence of fire, and names off the things they did through faith. And then in the latter part of the chapter it says, and these all, verse 39, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. And then it takes up in the 12th chapter, verse 1, and it really is referring, I think, to them in chapter 11. Because the Bible didn't used to be split up into chapters and verses like it is now. And it's handier since they've done it, of course. That's not been done in a few hundred years. And it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed, you can say that compassed if you want to, it's really compassed, about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Then it says, looking up Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him. To understand, hear me through on this, please, to understand the book of Hebrews, you have to understand, first of all, that that is who it was written to. The Hebrews, the Jewish people. And they knew that when they got this letter, probably from Paul. It seems Paul wrote it. When they got it and they read it, they knew what he meant because they lived in that time and they talked that way. We haven't figured out, but they knew a great deal what it meant. And one of the main problems in the Bible among Jewish people out who had been saved, they had a hard time forsaking. They had a hard time forsaking the past. You know, when you've been under law for a long time and been doing everything that the law says, not that they did do it all, but you know, under that economy, that age, and then you come under a whole different thing, under an entire different thing. In case you haven't read about Martin Luther was a very devout Catholic, and had he not been for Luther, you wouldn't be in this building tonight. I guarantee you that. He did an awful lot for us and God's cause. But if you study the life of Martin Luther, read much about Martin Luther, you'll find out that Luther never could really, really give up everything that Catholicism had taught him. He had a hard time. For instance, in 1428, there was a Swiss reformer named Zwingli, Ulrich Zwingli. And he's just as important in a great way. Many men were just as important in the Reformation as Luther was, but God used Luther at the time to get the job done. And they met at a place called Marburg to talk about doctrine and things like that. And Zwingli knew that Luther believed in what they call, and it's a big word, but it's not all that deep, confess substantiation, which means that the Catholics even today teach that when you take communion, that actually the blood of Jesus is in the wine. That actually, literally, blood, his blood, is in the wine. And that his actual flesh, when you eat the wafer, cracker, unleavened bread, I wonder if you, that his flesh is in that. But we know it's not true.
Right.
God does not have us practice cannibalism.
Right.
But Luther, Zwingli told him, said, now look, Luther, and Zwingli was a good man, a precious man. And he stuck his hand across the table and said, Martin Luther, let us unite in the things that we do believe. Let's don't argue about this. He said, you feel that transubstantiation, one of the confessions, is right. I don't. But let's don't argue about that. Let's unite in the things that we know are true, right, and the necessary things. And Luther said, no. He still believed that. Crazy. It's crazy. But he still believed it. You know, sometimes, in order not to have preconceived prejudices, I'm not talking about giving up holiness. I'm not talking about that at all. I'll always believe that. But sometimes in order, you have to really get a hold of yourself in order to do away with past prejudice and to promote God's kingdom. And Luther said no. All right, these people in Hebrews had been under law so long that when the grace dispensation and the grace era come in, they wanted to cling to it. If you remember, in Acts 15, they got into it. And some of the people said, unless you keep the law of Moses and be circumcised, you cannot be saved. Well, we know that that's not necessary to be circumcised and to keep the law of Moses to be saved. We know it's not. They wanted to keep that and accept this too. So they sent word to the apostles, and James was a spiritual man. As a matter of fact, if you read Galatians and go through it slow, you'll find out that Peter, James, and John are pillars in the church. Paul said, who seem to be pillars, and they are, and were pillars in the church. Of all the rest of the 12, these men are the most important men because God preferred to use them like that. He always will. I mean, who among us has been more effective than Brother Hayes Crawford when all the people tried to copy?
Right.
Who has been more effective than Brother Hayes Crawford and Lester Moore and people like that? They are above us in that influential thing, and have helped a lot of people. And in the little, tiny, in the little cliques, if you don't understand what that is, I'll explain that to church. In the little cliques, you always have somebody who wants to lead. And a lot of times, not a thing in the world, in fellowship meetings and things, not a thing in the world, but a carnal power struggle in order for somebody else to take over and have dominion. It's all it does to you. I mean, not your head up and down now, because you know it's so. They don't have it on you, they got it on me, so not your head up and down. You know that it's a truth. But Peter, James, and John were the pillars of the church, so they went to them, and James was a praying man. He even had a name called, they called him Camonese, because he had calluses on his feet where he prayed so long and so often. And these men, and John Knox was a great man of the Reformation. He prayed until he marked the ceiling, the wall, the roof, the building, from come down to the ground. And he had a place, in a low place in the house where he prayed. And he sweated, and the heat from his body, and the perspiration from his body, marked the place in the ceiling, on the roof, the inside, underneath, and then still there. He was a man of God. He prayed Bloody Mary off the throne, didn't even know she had died, and run out in the street and holler, God has answered prayer. And in hours and hours, they brought the news that Bloody Mary, Queen Mary, had died. Mary, Queen of Scots, had died. She hated the church. These men were great leaders in the body of Christ. And so they rode up there to Jerusalem to Peter, James, and John, the apostle. And they sent word back and said, now here's some necessary things that you do. If you read the 15th chapter of Acts, you'll find I gave this as a question in the young married people class 25 or 30 years ago, a long time ago at the house of prayer when I taught the class. The four things that they were told to do and to abstain from, and one of them was abstain from blood. Don't, I don't care what anybody tells you, don't. Never drink blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood, said Leviticus 17:11. When life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your soul. Souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Leviticus 17:11. And the life of the flesh is in the blood. Don't never drink blood. The New Testament said not to drink blood. In Mexico, and even in the United States, some people make blood pudding. They catch the blood from animals, and they make blood pudding, yuck to the last degree. I'll tell you, God have mercy on them. God is crazy enough to eat blood, but they do, and they like it. But it's not right.
Right.
It's a sin to drink blood.
Right.
Abstain from blood. Abstain from pollutions of idols. Abstain from things strangled. Why? Because if you strangle anything and kill it and then butcher it, the blood will remain in it. And you're not supposed to do that. And from fornication. And all these things people ought to abstain from. You hear me? All right? They had a hard time coming out from under, and we have to understand that in order to understand the Bible. Sometimes in the Bible, in the class, in our churches, people, they just go to class, and if they're studying the Bible, they just read a verse and no comment, read another verse and no comment, and they go through the whole book and never know what it means. But you ought to know what the Bible means.
Right.
Not just read the Bible. Study the Bible and find out what the Bible means. And they had a hard time coming out from under this, and right here, he gives them all these people who were great people, men and women of God, and the things they did by faith. And he said, wherefore? Which means, the word wherefore, look it up sometime, it means for this very reason, or due to this reason, or this fact, or as a consequence of such. So we would say, for this reason, seeing we also are compassed about. Now some people think that we have up in heaven or above us somewhere that we have people, friends, that have gone into heaven that's looking on at us, cheering us on. That's not true. No, I don't believe that. You may, but I don't believe that. You're wrong about that. If you don't agree with me, you're wrong about that. But it does not make sense. And this is the same Greek word as a spectator. Or not a spectator. It's not a spectator, but it's like someone that bears testimony.
Uh-huh.
And these people bore testimony. And we can look at them and really, folks, most everything that we know and most everything that we do, we have been influenced by somebody else. That's right.
Right.
It's been carried to the extreme, but it's natural with people to copy. These children are like their parents. I can see that. And that's fine. That's good. But most everything we do it as a result of what someone else has taught us to do. If not by word, by example. And he said, seeing them. Wherefore, seeing then that we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, these people in chapter 11, we are encircled as their testimony, and they had great faith and they wrought righteousness, subdued kingdoms, done some of the mightiest things this world has ever seen. You could take these people just as a subject, each one of them, and preach for no telling how long on just each one of these people. You ought to make a study, especially young people, ought to make a study of the life of Joseph and see what made him like the kind of person he was. Oh, what a man. What a man to copy after. It's better
that you have in your home books about great men and women than it is a bunch of slop and a bunch of silly stuff, little old trivial junk that doesn't mean a thing, won't do anybody any good. I love my daughter and my son-in-law, my grandchildren, but when I go to their house, you either have to leave or go in the back room or you have to seek help. I mean, you've got to. I mean, you're either not going to be there or something's going to be on the television. And I'm not a television man. Matter of fact, the more I see of it, the more I hate it. It is the craziest thing. It's the silliest thing I nearly ever come in contact with. And we don't watch it. No, we don't. Really don't. And we don't have a television. Never will have a television. We'll have no plans to have a television. I think it is the craziest stuff that I've ever seen in my life. But my grandchildren take after that because they're allowed to. And I love my daughter. And she knows how we feel about it. And they're pretty careful while we're there. But and we don't look at it a whole lot, but there'll be some news or something if you're there. All right. Get criticized if you want to, but I can't afford to wear a mask over my face while I'm at my daughter's house. I can't afford to say, now look, you bunch of devils, I'm going in the back room and spend all my time in the back room. I mean, I just can't do it. And some things you've got to be sensible about, and I'm trying to be as sensible as I can. But I notice that they're influenced by that, and in the church there, nearly all the people have television. Where I'm at, we don't have television. I know you don't hear, I'm sure you don't. I doubt if there's anybody here got a television. And you can't hardly control anything like that. It's the biggest bunch of slop, and people copy. And it's the biggest lies. You can't even get the news. You can't even get the actual news reports.
Right.
And the producers of the television program are anti-American, and they're humanistic,
right,
and they are against our way of life. For instance, someone was saying, and I didn't see it, of course, but someone was saying they had a program series of the life of George Washington. People would dress up in his clothes and act out the part. And they had George Washington, to show you how rotten it is, having an affair. You know, about everybody's having an affair now except us.
Uh-huh.
We're not having an affair. I'm not having an affair. And I don't plan to ever have an affair. I'm not looking for a chance to have an affair. Do you know what an affair is? An affair is an affair. If you don't know what that's what it is, an affair. Okay. It's an unfair affair.
Uh-huh.
Okay. But they had George Washington having a girlfriend on the side besides his wife. He had an extramarital relation. And that's the biggest lie
I
ever told. George Washington was one of the greatest men ever in our government. He prayed 2 hours a day.
Right.
And he was the chaplain of his army. And if he ever heard a soldier, if any soldier was reported for profanity, he got 50 lashes. And the next time he got 100. So there probably wasn't much cussing around in George Washington's army.
Right.
And he prayed 2 hours a day. It's pretty hard to have a girlfriend on the side praying 2 hours a day. Some people spend 2 hours a day with their girlfriend, and that's not hard for them to do. But flesh and, you know, corruption and filth and all that, abstain. Bless God, the Bible said, abstain before the
yes,
right. Every sin that a man does is outside of his body, but fornicators, they sin against their body.
Right.
And the guilt complex and all the trouble that comes with it. My God, it's the biggest curse on America today. Let it alone. Seeing then that we are compassed about, and I said all that, I'm talking about the life of Joseph, and Joseph's such a great, and have books in the house. Get some books in the house. If you don't have none, get some on the lives of great people and let your children read them.
Right.
They're going to read. Let them read the lives of great people.
Yes.
And get Bible storybooks and things like that. Now, we are encircled as a result of these testimonies, and this whole line of testimony in Hebrews 11, seeing then that we are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside anything that would hinder us.
Right. Yes.
anything that would hinder us. Put that aside. Every weight.
All right.
Their weight was trying to observe the law. Their weight was trying to mix the law with grace. That was their weight. What is our weight?
All right.
All through the Bible. Don't forget, folks. Please don't forget. You Arkansas saints, don't forget. Most all of the New Testament is written to God's people.
Right.
Don't go to blasting and slashing and tearing and yelling and screaming. The lost. They don't know about this book.
Right.
They don't even think they've got one in the house they don't read. You come to church, should every service, unless something's wrong, you should every service. How would you like to be the preacher? And sometimes at home, when our folks are pretty faithful, sometimes I wonder, where are they at? Now, what are they doing? And sometimes you, once in a great while, you have to go see. And sometimes it helps, and sometimes it does not help. Some people, nobody can help. But you have got this book, and you read this book, and I'm thankful for your faithfulness here, and to see you here when I come, and really not to know you. We thank a lot of you. We don't really know you. You don't really know us. But if you got discernment, turn it on. Praise God. But the world out there, they don't know nothing about them. God's business.
Right.
They don't know anything about God's business. But this book was written to people just like you.
Right.
You say, boy, I tell you, I've reached it. My wife wears long sleeves and I wear plenty of clothes and I put my clothes on and we don't go naked in the house or out and we're decent people.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's just one phase of it.
Uh-huh.
There are people that's got sleeves, long sleeves on. And her is never touches, mean as a snake inside.
Right.
Just as mean as a snake inside. You'd be better off with a snake in the house
right.
than you would some other. So this book is written to straighten out God's people.
Right.
God's holiness people.
Right.
Brother Tommy, we can't. I don't hardly ever, if ever. I can't even recall. I might have, but I can't recall preaching in the Baptist church. I would if they'd asked me. Bless God, I'd preach in the Catholic church if they asked me. I would. One time, anyway.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Different somewhere else. And what I'm driving at is, we're not around them a great deal, some, but it's the holiness people that we're trying to keep straight.
That's right.
It's the unstraightened homeless folks that we're trying to straighten out.
Right.
Yeah. I got to noticing, and I won't use this as a subject, but I got to noticing years ago when it just shocked me at the line. And of course, you're not doing that. Surely you wouldn't be doing it. But at the line, among the church people.
All right.
And sometimes I just hear people tell an outright lie.
Uh-huh.
I mean, really. I was there. Brother Bitter's gone now to eternity. And I'm glad he's crossed over. Bless his old soul. What a precious man he was. I really love him. He could say some good things and live good. Ever since I heard of him, he's a great living man. The brother there told it down in that country somewhere. They had a black church, and the old black sister said, we just had to stop the testimony service, the testify service. Just had to shut it down. People got to lying so bad that we just had to stop having testimony service. Yeah. Now, Now, I got to know this, so I just, you know, I'm a troublemaker. I do it on purpose. I just start stuff on purpose. I mean, I do it. I see some goofy thing get going, I'll just get up and preach again.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I might wait. I might wait a long time. I waited years and years and years to preach against lying. Take lying as a subject. You know what the Bible said? Put away lying.
Uh-huh.
Now, what kind of a weight? What kind of a weight? With them, it was law and grace. They wanted to mix them. You don't mix law and grace.
Right.
No. No, no. Oh, no. Let that alone. You don't do that. You put that in there, Miss. It's a separate thing. Now, I know there's things in the Old Testament that we have to live. I know that. But don't mix. We don't want no rituals. We don't want no rituals. We don't want no depending on when it comes to getting saved. Your sleeves and your hair and your shoes and your hose and your suit and your socks, that ain't got nothing to do with it. Of the born again thing. That's another thing. That's another subject altogether. And that comes under something else. You got to do that. I mean, there's things you got to be sensible about. And you got to dress good and all that. But that's not what saves you.
That's right.
You don't mix nothing like that with salvation.
Right.
Not the experience itself. Oh, no, 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 no. If you boys can play, I can't play anything. Not a thing can I play. I played around sometimes on metal and go, Sally, I can't play anything. Good, I thought I'd learn. No, it's too late, too late. Forget it, forget it. They said, you pray. No, I forget it. Sound question.
I understand too.
Well, it's not my thing. I'm not called to it. But y'all can play today. It ain't got nothing to do with the fact that whether or not you're saved. That comes after you get saved. That's after you get saved. Let's say someone was a real musician, and I met some Northwestern people like that. He played with Tex Ritter and Elmer Lester Scruggs. That's what their name was. Anyway, something flat, Lester Flat, and Scruggs. And
Earl Scruggs.
Yeah, Earl Scruggs. And he played with them. Don't tell how many people. And he said it's the rottenest life in the lowest life in the world. And it is. But when the Lord got saved, he didn't have to quit playing music. He just had to change who he played for.
Right.
See? But that didn't have nothing to do with him getting saved.
Right.
So here they say, we won't do this, we won't do this, we got to do this, got to no, no, out, lay it aside. Whatever. Whatever. And you never could curve it all, but whatever is a hindrance. Whatever is a hindrance that holds you back. You know, when I got saved, I was an elementary gunsmith. I was possessed with guns. If I'd had the money, I'd have had a museum. I'm telling you, I was gun crazy. I mean, I had the shooter's Bible. I had the tools. I learned how to blew guns. I could just see them in my sleep. Not while I was asleep, but before I was asleep, when I woke up, I could see guns. I loved guns. I'd have spent everything I had on guns. I'd have got drunk on guns if you could. I loved it. I'm telling you, I was possessed with it. They called me the walking Bible when it comes to guns. I mean, I knew that stuff. I shot the highest score in my life when I was in the Marine Corps. Won the prize. I was crazy about guns. I loved it. It is dangerous for a squirrel. He'd stick part of his head around the corner. I'd kill him. I mean, I could do it. I could go to a shooting gallery and knock every duck down. And when they come down, knock them all down. Just keep on knocking them down. And when I got saved, and I got seeking more of God, and they didn't tell me nothing about sanctification and the second work of grace. I didn't know a thing in the world about that. They didn't tell me about that. Amen. I got just as much as that as the rest of them, but they didn't tell me nothing about it. And I was seeking the Holy Ghost, As I pray, I can see guns. I mean, I can see guns. I thought about guns all the time. I'm kind of a nut, you know, anyway, a little bit off. You know, just a little, not too much, not as much as you are. But anyway, come on now. But I'm the kind of person that can't shake things. I get something, I can't shake it. I'm getting better to get better, but I can't. I get something on my mind, and I can't shake it. Now, I can see guns. I just thought about guns, 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 guns. I'm crazy about guns. And I said, Lord, Lord, give me the Holy Ghost. Please give me the Holy Ghost. And you got told her before I did, didn't you, honey? I got saved before she did, but she didn't know anything. I knew everything, you know. You're raised in Christian home, you know. Poor thing, you know. But they just told her stuff. They came to her, and she's, like I said, raised by a bootlegger, and they're suspicious of everybody, never did trust anybody, talk not tell anybody anything. She had one sister that made a good lawyer. The police come out the house one day and asked my wife's sister where her dad was. She said, he's down at the still. Yeah. Said, he's down at the still. They said, he is, yeah. Said, but you think he's down there? Yeah. I think he's down there. Took him to jail. Yeah. But my wife was taught never trust anybody. The old man just looked at it and said, I had to make a living. And that's all I could do. He said, I didn't sell whiskey because I'm going to sell whiskey. I sold whiskey to make a living. And that's the way he looked at it. But God didn't look at it like that, but that's the way he looked at it. And so my wife that came and asked her said, Miss Cox, would you, why don't you get saved? Leave me alone, she said. Leave me alone, get saved, and I feel like it. That's what she told me. I already got saved. I don't want to get saved. And one night, during her revival, she just felt like it. Doctors tell her, she's with that man, dealt with him, and he told her what to do. She said, now you just ask the Lord to forgive you, and she did. And thank him for it, and she did. And they said, now you can get the Holy Ghost. And she said, what? Said, you can get the Holy Ghost. And she said, what's that? And they said, well, that's when you get power. And she said, how do you do it? And they said, well, you just go to praise the Lord. Ignorant as a cow when I first met her about the things of God. I'm not quite, but old. And I asked her when I was going with her. I fell in love with her as soon as I see her. And she didn't mean to. She knew good deals. She didn't know all that is. But anyway, she's going with my brother. She's going with my brother. He didn't meet her. I did. And I got her, too. Amen. And she said, how do you do that? And I said, well, you just praise the Lord. Just put your hands up and go to praise the Lord. And just thank him for saving you. Just keep that up. And I guess she thought they meant that night. And she just went to doing that. They said, just stay until you just tarry until you get the Holy Ghost. She just stayed until she got the Holy Ghost. I had to beg, cry, blow my nose, plead. All his tears got put up on the chairs and on the old concrete floor, dirty. She just went on through and got the Holy Ghost. Well, now let me see, where is that? Somebody help me. I got off for a little. But she didn't know anything, see. She didn't know anything. And didn't understand about the things of God. And sometimes, you know, but I was hung up on these guns. Yeah. Crazy about this gun. Possessed with this stuff. I was going to be a gunsmith. I mean it. I was on the way to being a gunsmith. I loved it. I just dreamed of it. Dreamed of it. Thought about it in the daytime. Dreamed of it in the nighttime. I was possessed. I'm obsessed with guns. Guns, guns, guns. No telling how far I went. And I got seeking God. That's all I could see. I said, Lord, if you give me the Holy Ghost, I'll put through with it. I didn't mean I'd never, any of it. I didn't mean I'd never, but I'll stop this bitch. I got rid of my blue and back, some of my stuff. I got the Holy Ghost. Never, and one time I got fishing. Never had done much fishing. He told me I'd fished. I was going to throw one fish all the time. I thought about it in the nighttime. Thought about it in the daytime. Went fishing. I said, Lord, if you'll help me, I won't go fishing for a month. And I did. God helped me, and I didn't go fishing for a month. And it just cured that, and I go fishing. Matter of fact, you need to pray with me. I'll get a bird to go fishing. I don't hardly ever go fishing. I love deep fish, but it takes time, you know, and I don't have it. I said that to say this. To me, that was a weight. If you've got six guns in your house, why not bother you at all? But it was a weight. That was a heavy thing, pushing me down, holding me back. Some years ago, in the Alleghenies, there was a fellow back, that was many years ago, I read about this somewhere, a hunter. It wasn't against the law, I don't think, to shoot eagles then. And this was many years ago, and this fellow shot a big eagle, 7'2" wingspan, and some of them gets bigger than that. Huge birds. One of the greatest stories in the world. Sometime I'll preach to you about eagles growing up. And I studied on eagles, and I love it. I'm going to go sometime and watch them. They got a place down in Tulsa where they'll take you around and hide in this blind and watch the bald eagle, golden eagle. And they got them down in the south. I'd sure like to go see them. Oh, what a majestic, beautiful bird. And God bore us up on eagles wings. You know the story. This fellow shot an eagle. The eagle was down, and he slipped up close to him some way and shot him with his rifle, and he fell out. He ran over to him and turned him over and got looking at him. And on one hole, they got the off his claws and feet. Man, what are you talking about? And one of them had it on the end of it, close to the end of it, where it wouldn't come off. It was a big steel trap with a 5-foot chain. And that eagle was so strong, he everywhere he went, he took that chain and that trap with him. And that matter of fact, that hunter said, that's probably what got him in reach of my rifle, was that steel trap that weighted him down. Now, he can still fly. There's a lot of people who can still fly, but they're weighted down. They've got a chain on them, a chain of greed. They're held down by some kind of a weight. It may be a long tongue. It may be bitterness about the past. And we've got people in the church that they're just absolutely cursed with the past. Then we got people in church too, and I just have to cover this as I get it here now. Help me here. Pray that God will help me. We have got some of the most bitter people among the Holy Spirit. Not many, but some. Someone even said something about them, or someone done something. Brother Moore said something one time. I don't want to overquote him, but he said, you know, people say, so-and-so did so-and-so to me. He said, yes. I've had people do things to me, too. But you've got your soul to look at. We have, especially now, we have people who are coming in and getting saved. And once in a while, who have been dope heads. And I noticed something about people. We had a fellow one time who got saved. I reckon he got saved. You can't always, you know, you don't really know everything about lots of things, but he looked like he got saved. And you know what? He told me, we talk sometimes in private conversation. He told me how he used to run around with him. You could tell that when he would tell about these affairs, maybe even his sister-in-laws and people like that, and you know what? You could tell that he relished that. You don't want that. You don't want that. Just testifying about your past.
Right.
You want to watch that.
Right.
And I used to have a friend, he's in eternity now, and he would testify and preach how he used to run around on his wife. She's a precious woman. You know her name. Somebody called us to call it. What's the matter with you? What in the world's the matter with you? There you are telling about you how you run around on mama, and you got four boys here, and one of them's disliking you now, and he'll probably go to hell unless God some way can save him and kill him, because he has this devilish thing that he can't seem to keep his hands off the opposite sex. And right there, if you get up and testify in church and tell about how you used to do, and then if you don't do it in church, if you do it to your friends, if you like to refer back to that, you better look out. It's going to get you.
Right.
And we have people coming in who have been dope heads and prostitutes and all the most wicked people. Man, I'm glad I didn't get old dope or anything like that, and I was a sinner. Oh God! And that they crave that. They crave that. They don't really go through to sanctified experience. They really don't. I never would understand how some people get saved and right then are delivered from the back of, and others just fight and struggle, and some of them never do quit. They'll risk their very soul and their health and their influence. Just to keep that silly, crazy habit that's killing them anyway. And so, what do we do with things like that? We put away.
Right.
Put away.
Right.
Bless God, if your tongue's that long as that altar, it was either Bud Robinson or Moody. One person came to Uncle Bud and said, Uncle Bud, help me to get my tongue on the altar. He said, somebody came to Moody and said, I want you to pray. That I can get my tongue sanctified, or that God will help me not to talk and gossip so much. It was gossiping. And he said, I'll tell you how to get rid of it. Treat it like it's a sin. And every time you do it, you tell something over somebody that causes harm. Go to that person and confess to them. And it won't take long to break you. That's a bitter pill to swallow, but you can get her down. Uh-huh. Amen. One old boy didn't understand. That's got some stuff called Alka-Seltzer. And it's as big as a nickel. You ever seen one of them big as a nickel or bigger? And you put that in a glass of water if you got a sour stomach. You wouldn't have a sour stomach if you knew what to do. But some people have a sour stomach, got upset. So they put that in a glass of water and and drank that down. This guy thought you swallowed the pill bigger than a nickel and then drank the water. He did. He got that down. He said, here, it's pretty good size, but here it goes. And got that down. So one had to kill him and drunk that water on top of that. Woo! You're talking about a fist fit. It's like killing. But now you may have a hard time of getting that down. But you can get it down. Yeah. Praise God, if your tongue is long as a well rope, ask God to help you to cut some of it off. Yeah. Old J. Vernon McGee, which I'm a thousand miles from agreeing with on everything, and he's in country now to say, he told about some woman that's talking about tongues, speaking in tongues, and someone asked her, said, would you like to have a tongue? She said, my God, I'd like to cut 40 foot off the one of God. She didn't understand what he meant. So some people need to cut 40 foot off the one they've got. That becomes a weight to them. Isn't it a shame to think that we've got the most decent women in the world?
Right.
I'm telling you, I can just look at them with admiration. I'm not talking about looking them over. I'm talking about look at them with admiration and think, decent people, pure. A lot of our women have never known nothing about the outside world and sin, never had an affair. Virtuous when they married and stayed that way and always will be that way. Can't shut up. All right, now, bless God. Boy, it's quiet in here. Man, have I ever run somebody's bell or something here? I mean, woo! Maybe not.
All right,
maybe not. Maybe it's not that bad. Can't shut up. I've seen people and I thought, if you would just shut your mouth, you'd be all right. If you would just shut up. David Horton is not he's a precious man. He thought he bought this suit right here. I got no telling about any new suit, brand new suit. David, he don't wear my suit. Don't tell Mary, don't wear my suit. This thing, I'm docked out, man. Don't you ever die. $150. Yeah. And that's good too. But David is not much of a talker. And he don't want you to talk much about him doing things for you. And I don't know if I'm going to do it. I'll tell you, because you don't tell nobody. No, I'm sure you know. She needs to say goodbye. Not to get home. Anyway, be careful. But David doesn't talk much. And his wife is not a talker. Brenda's one of the sweetest. Money, they got plenty of money, nice house, 19 rooms, I think, huge thing, man. It's a sight. I mean, treat you so good, just almost does. I've cried. Oh, yeah. And Brenda's real easygoing. David murdered only daughter of these people, and when he died, he got, more. It seemed like everything he touched, he got the mind's touch. And, Brenda was talking to a woman that just on and on and on and on. And Brenda was trying to tell her something, and David said she's sitting there talking to her. And the woman is with you. And Brenda all of a sudden said, will you shut up? I want to tell you something. And I've seen people, I thought, if you're a nice looking person, and you're a good person, and if you would just shut up.
Yes.
Oh, they've got to. I can understand. Some people have got so little backbone that they these, today I think this, I'm preaching about temperance down there, I said this, used to be my daughter-in-law, she could not lose weight. I mean, she would not lose weight. And she needed to lose weight. She's sick and, you know, just bloated all the time. And, you know what I mean, don't you? You know what I mean? But anyway, Brother Tom, she would not quit eating. Just eating. What they do, they take them down and they cut them open. Pull them open, you know, take their intestines, one of them, main one, wherever they store all that, and choke it down no bigger than pencil. Now, can you imagine somebody who hasn't got enough guts, I mean, intestinal fortitude, to not eat so much and just shove it in? I've got a niece, Lord have mercy, she comes to that door, she can get through it, turn sideways, maybe. No, she can get through it. Anyway, this takes the man, nothing makes me sick, and this wobbles like a big mastodon coming down the center aisle. Brontosaurus, Lord God, I'm telling you, it's tent. And they take their intestines and choke it down where they can't eat but a little bit. Uh-huh. And sometimes vomit that up, and then later on have to go have that thing untied. And, you know, what it is, just kill them. Lord have mercy. And some people go, they go in order not to eat so much, they have their teeth wired up. Uh-huh. I mean, take wire, steel wire, wire their mouth together, and suck liquid through a straw. Well, why don't you just not eat if that's your pain? You say, I can't. What do you mean you can't? That's the craziest word that I ever heard of. Can't. But now here's the thing. That'd be a good deal for some people, not to lose weight, but to shut up. I mean, you take some wire and lace about six rounds through there and say, now you, and then they go to right. I mean, they've just got to talk. And talking, we must talk. But it's a killing some people. It's tearing up churches.
Right.
Hey, come here.
You tell us.
Bless God. It's a tearing up churches. Right. Tearing up fellowship thing.
Right.
Tearing up. I mean, homeless people go to the churches. And the best looking sisters and men, decent men, but because of some gossip monger, they're in the house of God, get on the phone, and I mean get something going, and then lie and say they didn't even say it.
Uh-huh.
Right. It's late. Big eagle. Take off, man, off, fly, one of the most. But all the time, that 5 foot chain, that big old steel trap, he could fly, so he'd got him. It'd get you too.
Right.
You hear me?
Right.
It'd get you too.
Amen.
In time.
Right.
Yeah. Out in California, a boy went to the military, come on home close pretty quick. Came home on a furlough. I'm going to go back, maybe to war. And the parents said, you going to church with us? No, he said, not going now. And he was home for a month, where it was. Used to get 30 days, been here long enough, I did. And my first deal was 30 days, I think. And time went on, weeks went on, and about the time for him to go back. And mama said, son, you've not been to church with us. You've not been to church with us at all. Are you going to go? No, he said, I'm not going. And they said, what? You haven't been any since you come in. And you're going to go back, and we not get to see you, and it's worried, you know, something can, you can get killed in war, you can get killed right here on this road.
Right.
Tom Hart and me coming down here, and I put the brakes on, I've got four out in front of a pickup down there where he comes out. Man, look around that post whenever you, I might have seen it, might not, but I did, and I started, I might have caught a glimpse of it at the time, and might have caught a glimpse of it when he got my front fender, or my door or something, too, I might have caught a glimpse of it. And I did, I stopped, no danger, but you know, it just shows you how fast you can. Something could happen to you.
Right. That's right.
And this boy was going off to the military. May not something might happen. His mom said, son, you mean you're not going to go to church with us? No, he said, I'm not going. Well, how come? Oh, I don't want to forget that. Ma, don't worry about that. I'm just not going. She said, why won't you go? What did he say, Mama? And she said, I want to know why you won't go in. Do you really want to know? He said, you just got to know. Yes, she said, I'll tell you why. I've heard you run that preacher down till I ain't got a bit of confidence in him. You have talked about that preacher, and I mean it. Okay. That's the result of it. That's not all. As you go through the New Testament, just going to be picking out stuff that will hold you down. Hold you down. Your attitude. You know. It's been kind of scattered, but this is serious anyway.
Right.
Things like this are killing people.
Right, brother.
They're killing people. One guy, I'm going to stop pretty quick, but I met a fellow one time, and of all the preachers I've ever heard, and I've heard the best, I have absolutely heard the best preaching that could ever be heard. I've heard some of the famous people, I've heard the Paul Hardy in person. Matter of fact, Paul Hardy graduated in the same school I did. A little before me, I didn't know him, of course, but I heard him in person. I've heard R.G. Letourneau, I've heard R.G. Lee. The Prince of Southern Baptist preachers preached Heyday someday. You heard him preach it in person. Hell, anymore. I've heard the greatest preaching among people, common people like us, it's ever been. I just have. But of all of you, I can name this guy, not if you know him, Brother Tommy. But I'm telling you, I was dumbfounded. I thought I've never in my life heard such a preacher. It literally, I was spellbound. I didn't know anybody could do it. Man, it just tore me all to pieces. Now, I noticed when I said something about it that the brothers wouldn't say much. I thought, hey, I'm just a young man, very young man. Took first church, and just to took first church in 54 at Chelsea. And I said, hey. And somebody told me, he's a woman chaser, preaching machine. So Brother Haynes told me, he told me, and he said, I'll call him John. His name is not John. This is not his name at all. John, you stay away from women. Don't you shake hands with the women in church. Don't you talk to women. You stay away from women. No, son. He would. And really, he wasn't nothing to look at at all. But you don't have to be having a fire. You don't have to be good looking having a fire.
Right.
There's always some south. Have one way if you haven't got more sense than that. Amen. And you know what? He wouldn't do that. So what did he do? He had another fire. And another. And his wife met a beautiful woman too. You know, by standards that kind of wonder if it's work. And I knew, well, I'm going to be married to Hag myself. But the thing about it is, she left him. And he's married again. I've seen him as a baby. I'm 60, he's probably 65, maybe 66, 70. Coming right on down before we go out of here. Married to another woman, trying to go on preach. Ain't more, not more God's will than nothing, but that's what he's doing. And he could have had a good home, he could have been the most influential, but everywhere he went,
yeah.
A chain of traps. After a while, they're cutting down. Already had it. Cutting down. Amen. And probably in time, you'll die if you don't have it. Let me tell you something. I'm not the judge of things. I'm not crazy. Somebody's in adultery somewhere. The Bible wouldn't say nothing about it.
That's right.
Somebody's in adultery. There is such a thing.
That's
right. Adultery. And I'll tell you what, I couldn't do it. Bless God, I don't care if I repent a thousand times. If I must leave my wife, I'd go to hell if I married me. Don't you let nobody fool you.
Right.
I ain't got no time to straighten everything out. I'm not crazy. I'm going to beat my head against that wall.
Right.
But I'm telling you what, you know better. And I know better. And by God's help and grace, we're not going to do it. Ever going to do it.
Right.
I don't want something everywhere I go. When I get airborne, I've got to take a 5-foot chain.
That's right.
Steel trap with me and bring me in reach of the hunter's gun and bang and shoot me down. I want to be free.
Yes, yes.
I can say if somebody says, disagree with me about something, I don't care if you wear a tie or don't wear one. I don't care if you got on brown shoes or black. It ain't got nothing to do with it.
Right.
Amen. It's not got nothing to do with it. Some fellow said one time, these folks said, wearing a tie is not a sin, it's a weight. I said, don't weigh much a pair of shoes.
Right.
And if when I go among people that I don't wear a tie, I don't care. I don't know if it makes a difference to me. I'll be even sensible with it. Right. But I just don't see it like that. I just don't see it. I don't believe that's right. But I respect them.
Right.
Yes, I do. And they're good. I don't like people running them down just about that one issue.
Right.
They are good people.
Right.
They are precious people. I'd give my life for them.
Right.
Amen. Let them know. Don't criticize them people. Let them know. If you can't get nothing but that, let them know.
That's right, brother.
Amen. Let's unite in things, praise God, that we need to unite on.
Right.
Get the wickedness out. Out with it. Amen. Amen. All right. God bless you. I know it's been scattered, but I ain't worried about it. When I'm preaching, I don't let going home worry me. When I get in that car, I'm gone. I'm gone when I get that car. When I go away from home, I drove. I was up in Ohio. And the next week, I had to be at Brother Benny's. And my wife was with me. And they said, well, Brother Ralph, what do you mean? I preached through Friday noon. And they said, what do you mean? You're going to go clear home? 14 hours? I said, I'm going home. I said, I'm going to get my wife. I'm going home where my wife's at. And I drove all night. I say all night. I got home about 2 in the morning. Left there at noon, about noon. And 2 o'clock in the morning, I was home. And it bothered me because I was going home to my wife. And then on Monday, my wife and I went back to Dayton. Amen. Praise God. So when I start home, my wife's with me. And I don't believe in driving 95 miles an hour. But when I get to, I ain't worrying about it. When I get in that car, going home. Amen. So I'll give you the best I've got. And I hope that helps. And please, folks, whatever you do, don't have something hanging on. Get rid of it.
Right.
Shake it off. Yeah. Right. Gnaw your finger off.
Right.
Gnaw your foot off. They say that you 100 don't never catch. Never catch. Seldom if ever catches a three-legged coon. Boy, he's done been caught once.
Uh-huh.
And he ate that foot off. And he ain't messing with it no more. He is gun shy from then on. Never catch a three-legged coon. Amen. You can catch them all right, but it's very... I'm not a coon hunter, but I guarantee if I was, I could catch them. Yes, sir. I guarantee you I could catch them. Because there's a way to catch a coon. Amen. If you don't believe it, pour a hole in the log. Where they cross the tree, bore a hole right down there about that deep, and then take some good nails and drive them in there and slant, let them come out down in that, down in there, and put something shiny down in there because he can't resist it. He'll get in there and get it when he starts back out. Sure, you can catch it. Don't you let nobody catch it. It might not be legal, but you can catch it. Yeah, he starts out. So be careful before you stick your paw. Amen. Amen. Some people agree with money. They say in different things in one part of the country, the way they catch monkeys is they take a coconut, or they got a place in the rock, and they'll put stuff down in there. And he reaches down there and get it. And whenever he reaches down there and get it, he will not turn it loose. When he gets a hold of something, he won't turn it loose. And the only way to get out is turn it loose, but he won't turn it loose. And they just go up there and get it. Because he's so greedy, he won't turn it loose. And a lot of people hang on to anything, they won't turn it loose.
Uh-huh.
They'd rather die in this their life than turn it loose. Amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily. He said, run with patience.
Join Brother Cotton. He told us some things.